We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and the Keystone Sports app. If you don't have the app, go to your app store. Where else? Search Keystone Sports. You won't regret it. You'll get all of our podcasts there. I'm Jim Galante, sitting along with Andrew Piché. We got to put up the four.
Quarter number four.
Finish strong, not just for today, but for the whole week. It's been you and I, Andy, and it's been a lot of fun. And it's time for us to finish strong. And this is a great topic. We started last week just a two-week series on our questions we had, not an evaluation of every position, but just our questions, issues that we think are going to need to be dealt with going into the 2018 season. Last week, we talked defense. This week, we're talking offense.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
A lot of places to go with this. You want to start or you want me to?
So the interesting thing about this series was, and I'm glad that you and I here this week, was Ross Tucker and Bob Flounders, they definitely had more concerns on defense than I do. I said to them, I'm like, I kind of have more question marks on, in my mind, offensively. And they were like, what? I'm like, okay, you're not going to be here to hear me out. But they thought I was nuts. But here is why I have more questions on offense. First of all, the expectations of this offense with a returning Heisman Trophy candidate, a stud wide receiver, an experienced veteran offensive line, a five-star running back taking over for a once-in-a-generation running back. Those are all, I'm not really necessarily quote-unquote worried about those kind of things to a degree. But this offense has high expectations of it. It averages 35 points a game. That's the expectation. That is what this program is now built under, is they can outscore you and outrace you up and down the field. Their losses, if you look at them, were when they couldn't outrace somebody. They scored 49 points and lost to USC. They scored 39 points and lost to Ohio State. Right? They still scored, 24 points against Michigan State and lost. Those are the three losses that you point at. They're still scoring points in those games. This team winning football games at the consistent level it has on 16-17 is all predicated on scoring a high number of points. The defense just has to be able to hang on and keep it under 28. So, having said that, my biggest concerns start with the offensive line. And not because I don't think they finally have the guys in position. They just haven't shown me yet. In other words, I'm your ambassador of Quan. I know Ryan Bates is really good and he's an NFL prospect. And I'm a big fan of Ryan Bates. You know my man love for Connor McGovern. Hey, McGovernville, I want to come tailgate with you guys. I'm a huge Connor McGovern fan as a college football player and potentially as an NFL football player. I think Michael Mennett's going to be a special talent. I think they're deep on the offensive line. I need this group to show me that they can carry the mustard across the line. In other words, they're the group that you throw this offense on and say, all right, now the skill players get to be secondary. Up front has to be primary and drive the engine. Because let's be honest, for the last 2 years, what's driven the engine, Jimmy? The skill position guys. Look, they still got talent at the skill positions. We are not going to debate that. That is not up for debate. But I think for this offense to be the 35-point a game that makes this program successful under James Franklin, that the offensive line this season particularly has to carry the mustard.
Well, and interestingly enough, James also brought that up in his press conference, being able to run the ball consistently. And that means at the end of those games, when it just meant holding on to the ball, getting a couple first downs.
Four minutes.
That's going to fall on the offensive line.
Right.
And part of the questions there, as you said, they're deep, they're experienced, but where's everyone going to play? To me, that's the question. You mentioned Ryan Bates.
Correct.
Where's Ryan Bates going to play?
So I think this is Bob's big on settling on your five, right? So is Ross, obviously, for many, many reasons, and they are 100% right. I'm not necessarily 100% on board with, so worried about your best five and just identifying your best five. This is a little bit different for Penn State. I think they have 8 or 9 Big Ten starters in their group that they are looking at. Where they are going to be, you know, that's the sticky wicket. I don't think there is any issue Ross would have or that I have with a Emmanuel McGovern switch. I think McGovern's a better guard than center, but I don't think he was an incapable center in any way, shape, or form. Are they better with Menon at center and McGovern at guard? Well, if they start him there, then that means they think they are. And you know what? I tend to believe that that's what we're going to see at the start of the season, is Menon at center and McGovern at right guard, only because it makes them better. In a perfect world, and the diversity of Ryan Bates is a huge upside, but in Penn State's situation the last 2 years and him being such a unique talent, the diversity of Ryan Bates is actually the curse of Ryan Bates. The fact that he can play left tackle and be so good at it when he just had to be thrown out there in 16. The fact that he is a stud guard, a potentially high first 3-round draft pick, in my opinion, as an NFL guard. That's the blessing and the curse. Could he play right tackle if he had to? Yeah. Boy, that's nice to have. But you haven't been able to use Ryan Bates since the middle of the 2016 and actually what he is wholly and completely designed best for. But God bless you, Ryan Bates, for being so having the ability to be so diverse that you have helped Penn State immensely without Penn State fans really knowing it. His ability to play left guard, left tackle, and right tackle, wherever they put him, and not really be a hindrance is off the charts, under the radar for me. So what is his best position? Left guard. Right guard. But then you're taking Gonzalez off the field. Do you do that? That's for Matt Limegrover to figure out. I just want you to figure out who your 6 guys are that you're going to use in your first game that takes you into the fourth quarter. Because you stick with your 5 and someone's going to get nicked or banged up or be tired or turn an ankle. Who is your 6 guy and what does your line look like by then? That's my biggest question.
Well,
that's just one part of the offense.
It is. And the positions, like you mentioned, Menon and McGovern. One will play center, one will be right guard, apparently. I don't care which way. I just want them to decide. And it's the same way, I think, with the tackles. You have Fries, Bates, Wright. Just decide.
Pick them
and go with it. All right. There are other positions on the offense. Let's talk about those. I think everyone's has the issue with the tight ends. I'm not quite as concerned, but
I'm with you.
Will we have one of the tight ends, Bowers, Holland, Dalton, step up? Could it possibly be one of the freshmen?
Freiermuth, Zach Kuntz. That is an IDK, which is an I don't know. So when you have a unique talent like Mike Gesicki, right, you have to use that talent. That's why this offense, the last 2 seasons with Penn State, has looked the way it's looked and has used the tight end position the way it's used the tight end position. But there is also an ability to use the extremely ridiculous wealth of talent at the wide receiver position and sort of hide the tight end. Look, there is no Mike Gesicki talent at tight end on Penn State's roster. So they are going to adjust this offense to play to where their talent is, and the tight end's not going to be featured. The tight end position is not going to look like the tight end position looked the last 2 years. It's not going to be by design, and it's not going to be by intention, because they don't have the talent there to do it. So if you don't have the talent to do it, but you do have the talent at the wide receiver position to cover that up, guess what they're going to do? They're going to use their wide receivers, and they're going to run about 4 or 5 different guys out there in different scenarios, and they're going to use that talent and strength to cover up the lack of a Mike Gesicki-type talent at the tight end position. Now, if Zach Kuntz, say, for example, and Ross and I both agree that he could develop into that, 19 and 20 might look a little different. But right now, this is who you are. And I don't think it's that big of a concern either. I agree with you, and I think we're more the exception rather than the norm, sir.
I do. And the reason why I'm not concerned about it, I just look at them as weapons. And what weapons you use in the stead of the tight end could be an extra wide receiver. It could also be the lion, and it could also be a second running back. So if there's a way you could get either Tommy Stevens or Ricky Slade on the field in place of a tight end, I'm good with that.
It's not like Penn State's looking around and going, okay, we do have an issue at the tight end position. And they do. and going, what are our other options? We're not sure what our other options are. They're looking around and going, what are the other options that we are going to do and use? That is a completely different issue than looking around and going, what are we going to do without the tight end?
It was no coincidence, by the way, you saw some two running back setups in the blue-white game.
It was not.
All right. Here's something, and this came up a bit in the Ask Andy segment. Running back depth, something we didn't have to worry about the last couple of years. I'm very confident in Miles Sanders, but if something happens to Miles Sanders, that's what I'm concerned about.
I am not. I am not. I think Mark Allen, while Penn State fans might not see him as an elite running back, if he had to play in the number one running back role, you would take a little bit to learn to love him, because he's not going to light you up and he's not going to make your jaw drop. But after a couple, you know, 8, 9, 10 quarters of seeing Mark Allen at the number one, you're going to be like, you know, this kid's pretty productive and he does exactly what we need him to do. And to me, that is a strength in depth. I don't think putting Mark Allen on the field, it doesn't necessarily help you, but I don't think he's going to hurt you. And I think that is the measure of a position. And you have a 5-star kid coming in who we know is like ridiculously talented. You can sort of dabble him and use him as you want. So I don't see the running back position as having any depth issues at all. And I know losing Andre Robinson was a big deal. And I know that hurt
a bigger deal than most people think.
It's a bigger deal than you might think. But I also think that Mark Allen can cover that, you know, more than ably.
All right. Last on my list.
Yes.
I think we're all confident. Juwan Johnson. I think we're all confident in Tompkins. Who's going to be that third wide receiver to step up? And there's a lot of choices. I'm not concerned, but there's a lot of choices.
Yeah. You know, okay, so I'm going to answer this, and this will be funny in a minute. Yeah, I'm going to do it quickly. I don't care who it is. I really don't care who it is. I want you to shop for it in those first two or three games and put a couple, 2, 3, 4 guys out there because you have them. I don't care who it is. Someone will do it and find them because they have so much talent at the position. You can't hide the talent. And remember what Joe Moorhead said.
What did he say?
Experience matters until the talent gains experience.
Okay. Tell you what, Andy, I want to wrap this up a little bit early because I want to thank you officially on the air. Oh. This week we had everybody out on assignment in Chicago, off everywhere. You were a real trooper, did all 3 shows this week with me, and it has been a lot of fun.
I apologize, listeners, in advance. Too much Andy, not enough Ross, Bob, Dustin, and Greg.
Now, we've gotten great reaction from our listeners. Fantastic, Andy. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you all next week on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light Loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.